And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Jeremiah, was written by Joseph Mindell.
No more curses, no more accusations.
Why don't you give up and go away?
Have you finished? Then hear what I have to say.
The walls are tired of your voice.
The gates droop with weariness.
There are pleasanter things to hear than your gloomy words.
Time is short. The matter is urgent. When will you listen? When the gates are broken and the walls collapse? When will you listen?
The walls are fallen. The stones ground into dust and mingled with the dust of 25 centuries. The sound his voice made in the streets of the city and in the gates is less than a whisper of memory. Yet I will speak of him. Not for the sake of his world, which did not listen to his words or hearing refused to understand. Not for the sake of Jeremiah. But because after 25 centuries, it is time for understanding.
Not you. No, not you. Let me see your face. No, not you either.
What kind of foolishness is this, Jeremiah?
Take no notice of me. I do not ask you to take notice.
Why do you examine us one after the other?
I am looking for a man in the city of Jerusalem.
What man?
One who may be called a man. No, it is not you. One who seeks truth. Nor is it you. No, not any of you. I am looking for one who deals justly with the stranger in the city as with the brother in his house.
Stop it, Jeremiah.
Don't concern yourself with my doing. There is Hananiah. Listen to him. He will tell you what you like to hear.
You think we don't know what you're saying, Jeremiah.
You were listening, Hananiah. I'm pleased.
There are no just men, no righteous men in Jerusalem. Only Jeremiah. There is no good in the whole city, except in you.
You listen, but you do not hear. That is not what I say, Hananiah.
I know what you mean.
You know nothing. The good men hide behind locked doors, afraid of the evil that is done in the streets and in the fields. Oh, my people, it is not too late. Why do you doom yourselves and the city and the nation? Why do you doom... Listen to me. Don't go away. Stay and listen. Gone. All of them gone.
I am here, Jeremiah.
Yes, Baruch. You are here. Baruch, I am tired.
Let me take you home.
Do you think I will remain at home?
No, Jeremiah. But at least you can rest for tomorrow.
You people, look at Jeremiah, shuffling in the dust with a yoke on his neck like an ox.
What is he up to?
Who cares so long as he's struck dumb like an ox?
Yeah, that's right.
Is the yoke heavy on your neck, Jeremiah? Never mind. Soon you'll be in your stall with a supper of hay.
Nothing to say, Jeremiah?
Oh, come now.
Even an ox can bellow.
Why are you laughing? Don't you see? Don't you understand?
Understand what, Hananiah?
He's taunting you. He shows you our image. For 10 years we have worn the yoke of Babylon. For 10 years Nebuchadnezzar has been master and we his oxen.
Why don't you speak, Jeremiah?
Why don't you speak, all of you? Tell him that 10 years is long enough. That you will throw off the yoke and be free men again.
No!
So, you are not stricken dumb, Jeremiah.
Of my own will, I placed the wooden harness on my neck. So must you submit to Nebuchadnezzar.
Don't listen to him. We will rise up against Babylon.
And fight alone against the armies of Babylon?
Egypt is our ally.
Moses was our father, and you have not learned how much reliance can be placed in Pharaoh.
We rely on ourselves.
Then you are lost. For what are you?
Tell him. Remind him how Joshua led our fathers against Canaan, how David overcame the Philistines. Tell him! Don't you see he has no confidence in your strength?
No. I have no faith in you.
Traitor! Traitor!
I remember that Joshua carried the Torah before him into Canaan, but you have forgotten the Torah. You lie, you cheat the stranger and your brother. You look at your neighbor wondering when he will betray you or you him. An army of such men cannot stand against Babylon.
Then you don't know the strength that comes from the desire for freedom.
You talk of freedom, all of you, but what do you want? Pharaoh's favor, or your neighbor's land, or power to rule your brothers. No, I have no faith in your strength.
Then I'll teach you faith!
Put down the stones!
Let them throw stones, Hananiah. Otherwise, they must hear what I say.
Put them down, I tell you! There are other ways to silence him.
There is one way. Take the yoke I offer you.
I will take it, Jeremiah. Give it to me. There! You see how it breaks to pieces? So will the power of Babylon be broken.
You have broken bars of wood, Hananiah. In their place, bars of iron will bind you and all Judea. 10 years ago, you also rose up against Nebuchadnezzar. What happened then? Tell me. Or have you forgotten,
Jeremiah?
Don't pull my sleeve, Baruch. I will not be still.
They are in an ugly mood. They don't want to be reminded.
Enough, Baruch. They must remember. You have not forgotten how Nebuchadnezzar came 10 years ago and carried away thousands of our people to Babylon.
My brother's family was among them.
And mine. Yes. Hear me. If you revolt again this time, only the fortunate will live to go into exile. Why will you die by the sword and by famine? Submit to Babylon and live.
Yes, hear him. Hear the words of a man so frightened that he is eager to serve a foreign master. Jeremiah, your cowardice stinks in the gates of the city.
You are not like me, Hananiah. You are a brave man, telling the people pleasant lies they want to hear, and closing their ears to words of truth.
Your words? I spit on your words.
You are...
No. Death is already close to Hananiah and to all of my people. Nebuchadnezzar is only the instrument. Death is in their blind eyes and in their own stubborn hearts. People are wise.
Here, Jeremiah, wash your face.
They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge.
They would have stoned you today. Another time, Hananiah might not stop them.
If they would only listen.
But they don't listen. And you keep talking to walls without ears as if for your own pleasure and prophecies of doom.
You too, Baruch.
Oh. No, 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 Jeremiah. I didn't mean that.
Pleasure, Baruch? Look at my house. Is this how a man should live? No family, no rest at the day's end, no children to have on his knee?
I am nobody, and I know nothing. But I keep thinking, you can also live as a man should live.
Can I? When the word of the Lord came to me, I said, Oh, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my lips and said, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.
Yet, Jeremiah...
Yet you speak without understanding. He has enticed me, and I am enticed. He has overcome me and has prevailed. And if I say I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, then there is in my heart a burning fire, and I weary myself to hold it in, but cannot. You turn your face away, Baruch.
I am ashamed. I don't want you to see how glad I am to be Baruch and not Jeremiah.
Driven by a burning fire, Jeremiah returned to the streets of Jerusalem and spoke again from the steps of the temple. But his voice was lost in the sound of the jubilation. For the people threw off the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar's dominion and rose up against tyranny.
Where is the word of the Lord, Jeremiah?
They mocked him. How else should those who fight to be free answer him who urges submission? How should heroes understand the prophet?
What do you say now, Jeremiah?
Nebuchadnezzar, close the gate! The gate! Close the gate!
The clash of swords filled the gates, and the cries of the wounded and the wailing of widows. And then, silence. The silence of siege and hunger.
One loaf. Half a loaf, I'll pay you well.
You fool. If I had bread, would I sell it? Can I eat silver?
The grain is ripe in the fields outside.
Then go out and harvest it.
Babylon eats our bread while we starve.
Be patient. Egypt is our ally. Pharaoh will send help. He made a promise to King Zedekiah.
Zedekiah's not hungry. He can wait, Hananiah.
He's thrown open his private stores.
Yes, a handful of wheat for a family.
It's only for a little while. Pharaoh's army will come soon, tomorrow, maybe even today.
Pharaoh's promise and Pharaoh's army.
You repeat Jeremiah's lesson like a schoolboy. I tell you, Egypt will send help, and Nebuchadnezzar will raise the siege.
Throw open the gate. Go out and harvest your grain. Call Jeremiah. Let him see how Jerusalem withstands the power of Babylon.
From the walls of Jerusalem, they watched Nebuchadnezzar march off to meet the army of Pharaoh. When the last faint trumpet call was no longer heard, the highest tip of the pennants of Babylon no longer seen, they ran to drink from the springs of the earth and take in the earth's harvest. And each day they laughed aloud for being free to come and go through the gates of the city. And then they thought of Jeremiah and sent to find him.
He was in the gate leading to the north, Hananiah.
Nebuchadnezzar marched his army to the north.
Here, where Jeremiah was going.
I was not going, Hananiah. I was returning.
You were about to desert to the enemy.
No. I went to Anatot, where I was born. And I've come back.
Naturally, you would have a story ready. Still, we'll hear you out. You went to Anatot, you say. Why?
In order to... I had certain business there.
What business? Tell us what you want us to believe, Jeremiah.
What business?
When it is time to tell, then I will speak.
Speak now! A wonder and a marvel, my friends. Jeremiah is silent. And you know why.
Yes, we know.
We know why he will say no more of Anatot. Because lies will not deceive us and he dare not speak the truth. He was going over to Nebuchadnezzar, who is our enemy, but his friend. He still says nothing, but look. He brings tears to his eyes to plead for him.
Do you know me so little that you call him who destroys Jerusalem and kills my people? Do you call him my friend?
Dry your tears, Jeremiah. They do not move us. In your twisted mind, whoever makes your prophecies come true is your friend. But you are disappointed. The fact is that we are saved by Egypt's army.
Pharaoh cannot save you. Execute justice and you will be saved.
Deliver the weak out of the oppressor's hand. Do no wrong to the stranger. Shed no innocent blood in this place and you will be saved.
When Jeremiah sings again, it is the same cracked melody. How long will you laugh? How long will you refuse to see what is plain to the eye?
I behold the earth, and lo, it is waste and void. And the heavens, and they have no light.
I behold the mountains, and lo, they tremble.
And all the hills move to and fro. And all the birds of the heavens are fled. And the fruitful field is a wilderness. I behold, and lo, there is no man.
May God have mercy on us.
What's the matter with you? He speaks and your blood turns to water. Sergeant, take him away. Put him in prison.
Let him be, Hananiah. Surely there's no need for that now.
No need. He makes straw men out of soldiers. He prophesies against his own city and his own people. If we let him, he would desert to Nebuchadnezzar.
How do we know? Maybe he told the truth. Why did you go to Anatoth, Jeremiah?
I will not speak of Anatot nor of myself.
You see? Take him away!
Wait, wait. I am in your hands and I will not plead. What you will do is on your heads. But there was someone who spoke of mercy.
It was I, Jeremiah.
Nebuchadnezzar will come back. And he will show no mercy. There will be blood on the gates and on the steps of the temple. But when those who remain alive remember my words, let them remember also the words of the Lord that I tell you now. For thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end.
Now Baruch wrote down the words of the Lord that came to Jeremiah. And he also told what happened to the man, how he was cast into prison and given bread by measure and water by small measure in the dark chamber where no light came, and how one day they took him to King Zedekiah.
I will ask you something, Jeremiah. Tell me the truth.
Now you are willing to listen, Zedekiah?
I must know, Jeremiah. Is there hope?
Open the gates. Go out to Nebuchadnezzar and surrender yourself, the city, and the people. Then you will live, and the people will live.
Hananiah is right. You are a traitor.
Because I say the corruption of Judah is no better than Babylon's tyranny?
Do you hate your people so? Do you love Nebuchadnezzar that you desire so greatly to be his slave?
Is that what you believe? Call your guard. Let him take me back.
Jeremiah, I need your advice. What can be done?
I have already told you, and many times before today.
Still the same. Always the same. I don't want to hear about justice and righteousness. Not now. How long do you think the city can withstand the siege? Jeremiah, for once, be practical.
Oh, you practical men. Who think you can overcome Babylon's hundreds of thousands with a handful of stones.
At least we fight. and die if necessary.
There is a time for fighting and a time for dying. But Babylon has come too far and is too strong to be overcome by arms.
Then we are doomed.
How much easier is it to be a dead hero than a man struggling to live?
It is enough. The guard will take you back now.
Listen to me. Nebuchadnezzar is not the first and not the last to come up like a storm in the desert and sweep the whole earth. But he will not survive.
That is small consolation to us.
The battle is not with catapults, not with instruments of war alone. Be practical, you said, Zedekiah. When will you learn the strength of justice and righteousness?
For them, it was too late. The walls of the city were breached. The sons of Zedekiah were slain and all the nobles of Judah. Nebuchadnezzar's captains swept through the cities and the fields, numbering the people. These men are to be bound in chains like Zedekiah, the king, exiles in captivity. These few to remain, a remnant in the land.
A voice is heard in Ramah. Lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children.
In the place called Ramah, Nebuchadnezzar's captain stood before the captives and spoke.
Jeremiah! I am looking for Jeremiah.
I am here.
Guard, remove the chains.
My people are in chains. I am no different from them.
Take them off. I have strict orders from Nebuchadnezzar himself. If you go to Babylon, you go of your own will and with respect.
Those people there are not chained.
We do not take them all. We leave a few.
Thank you, my lord. We thank you.
I will remain here, Captain.
Jerusalem is burned. The land is dead.
I will remain.
As you wish. I think you're foolish, but no doubt you have your reasons.
Many reasons. For one, there are certain lands I bought in Anatot.
I must look after my land in Anatot.
There's no need to shout.
I paid for the fields before witnesses.
Not so loud, Jeremiah. I hear you.
I have the deeds still sealed.
Then that is another foolish thing. Surely you, of all people, knew what was going to happen. What did happen? The land belongs to Nebuchadnezzar. All deeds are void.
Fields shall be bought again in this land. Do you hear?
You're not talking to me, are you, Jeremiah? You're talking to them, standing there, listening.
To them and to those in chains, waiting. And to the exiles in Babylon. Listen. Men shall again buy fields for money in the land of Benjamin and in Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah, in the hill country and in the lowlands. For I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord.
Be careful. My orders are to protect Jeremiah the prophet, not the traitor and the rabble-rouser.
Then put the chains on me again or kill me. Otherwise, I will speak to my people.
Guard! The chains! No, it's not important. Your people are slaves far away. Your land is dead. Speak to the corpses who walk in it.
Come. Close, my people. We are not dead. For we have tears. By the rivers of Babylon, in the charred fields of Judah. Sit down and weep.
For that they need no instruction, Jeremiah.
Long ago the Lord put forth his hand and said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. To root out and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, yea, to build and to plant. Weep if you must, but tears are not enough. The earth is ready, the season has come. It is the time to build and to plant. For thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate. Yet will I not make a full end.
The story is told, but it is not yet a full end. For if he spoke in his world, a later world still hears his voice. And it may be that 25 centuries are little enough time for understanding that the might of nations is not in armies, but in truth and in justice and in mercy.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. We now take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi David Wolf Silverman, spiritual leader of the Conservative Synagogue of Riverdale, New York. Rabbi Silverman.
Jeremiah is at once the most human and the most compassionate of the great Hebrew prophets. In him, the power and the agony of the prophetic mission are made manifest. Every phrase of prophetic denunciation is wrenched from his soul as though with tongs of fire. A priest of the families of Anatot, he must nevertheless condemn his beloved temple to destruction. A lover of his people, he must nevertheless walk with them the broken road of exile. He who stood most to gain from the preservation of the status quo was the first to raise his voice against it. By nature a shy and diffident man, he nevertheless stood in the marketplace and the court, proclaiming the divine message without fear or compunction as to consequences. Jeremiah took his life in his hands when he proclaimed that it was not an institution or a cult, but an ethical way of life which rendered man and society acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. In Jeremiah's time, this was treason. Today, to question the pillars of our own society is looked upon in some circles as being equivalent at best to treason, or at the very least to heresy. It is part of the heritage of Jeremiah that such an attitude is marked as the first sign of a civilization's decline. The unethical and dehumanizing aspects of our own society are as liable to God's judgment as the foolish idolatries of 2,600 years ago. Any belief which fosters a false sense of security must, to the man of ethical sensitivity, be denounced. To Jeremiah, the temple and its cult had become an insurance policy without any ethical clauses. A house of worship without trust, mechanical forms without inward piety, a sacrificial altar without ethical effect. This was monstrous. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Nay, but if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute justice between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. It is in the light of these goals, propounded by one who heard God and realized him to be the ground of ethics, that we should judge ourselves and our society.
Thank you, Rabbi Silverman. Our eternal light drama today, Jeremiah, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured were Leon Janney as Jeremiah and Louis Van Ruten as Hananiah. Others in the cast, Alan Bergman, Ivor Francis, Roger DeCoven, Bernard Lenroe, Danny Acco, and Guy Repp. Your narrator was Norman Rose. This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program is directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.